Wow, that's something else, right? Well, good morning, Grace. My name's Billy Starkey. I'm the high school director here at Grace. I hope that you've had a great Christmas. You are here on the Sunday after Christmas. Thanks for doing that. If you didn't know, both Pastor Bob and Pastor Nick are on vacation today, and then I think six other people are on vacation, and then they finally asked me to speak here today. So that's how you got stuck with me, but I'm really glad to be here with you. I really do hope that you had a great Christmas with your family. My wife and I, her family's in Columbus, so we did Christmas up here with my parents, and we drove down to Columbus, did Christmas with her parents, and it was just a great time. But now that Christmas is over, probably for many of you, you're faced with a very undesirable task, and that's putting away Christmas decorations at some point, right? That's never a fun time. And in my experience, when you begin to put away Christmas decorations, it takes you to a place in your home that you probably never otherwise go. For me, growing up, we had a part in our, like really the back part of our basement, where then you got a little stepladder and you climbed up to something about this tall and you army crawled to the back, and that is where my dad kept the Christmas decorations. And you only went back there to either get decorations out or to put decorations back in. And that was never a desirable task, but I found stuff back there that I wouldn't find otherwise. And so not only were there totes and totes of Christmas decorations, but back in this same area of my house where the Christmas decorations were, I also find some different Christmas gifts from years past that had a ton of value to me at one point, but then at some point they sort of lost their value. And so I wanted to show you a few of these things in my tote of worthless things right here. One of the things that my brother and I really appreciated, let me know if you know what this is. Anyone know what this is? Yeah, I heard it from someone. This is a Beanie Baby. And this isn't just any stuffed animal because it's got the tag on it. And this is what sets it apart as something special. Just raise your hand for me if you have kids or grandkids that used to collect these things. My brother and I had tons of these. But because we're boys, of course, we had the manly ones. This one is an odd one. We had dragons and snakes and bats and rhinos, and bears. Of course, we got all the manly Beanie Babies that we could get. But these things were so valuable to us as kids. We loved getting them. They're about $6 a piece, and you couldn't just get one Beanie Baby. You had to have multiple. And so we had all of these different Beanie Babies. We took care of the tags, because of course they're going to be worth money someday. I'm still waiting on that. These Beanie Babies were so valuable, but at some point my brother and I, we moved out of that phase. And now in my parents' basement, there's a box full of Beanie Babies, completely untouched. They once were really, really valuable, but now they don't really mean as much. Something else that I loved as Christmas gifts when I was a kid, I know you might not be able to tell this very much, but little blocks that go together, want to know what these are? Legos. I love collecting Legos. This is all I have. It's a tower I built. Goes to a castle because all the stuff I made as a kid is now broken because I have nieces and nephews who thankfully get to play with these now. But my brother and I collected Legos. We had all these Legos. We'd build them. We'd break them. We'd put them back together. We love collecting them, but at some point we grew out of that phase, and now in my parents' basement, they have a huge box just full of Legos, untouched until thankfully my parents had grandkids, not from my wife and I, but they had grandkids who now play with the Legos. But these Legos, they were so fun, except when you stepped on them in the dark. But they were so fun. But now there's just a box in the basement. They don't have value anymore. I don't know what you would find in your box of Christmas gifts that don't really have value. For the dads in the room, maybe it's that Christmas tie that your family just knew that you needed this year. And you collected ties over the years, but now they don't really have a whole lot of value. You got over the years just a large amount of Cleveland Browns memorabilia. And if we want to talk about not having value, this right here, this is it, right? As we say, as Browns fans, there's always next year, right? And conveniently enough, that's exactly what I want to talk about this year, or this morning. I want to talk about next year, because it's one thing to have a tote in our basement that's full of old Christmas gifts that don't have value anymore. It's one thing to look at a pile of gifts or items and say, man, I really kind of wish I had the money back from that I spent there. It's one thing to have those kind of regrets, but it's a whole nother thing to look at 2018 2016, and when it's over, look back and say, man, that was a wasted year. I didn't do what I needed to do this year. Now, that would be unfortunate. Earlier this week, before Christmas, there's a television host named Steve Harvey. Maybe you know where I'm going with this. But Steve Harvey had a monumental gaffe as he was announcing or hosting the Miss Universe pageant. He was in charge of saying who the winner of the pageant was, and he did a wonderful job. He announced that Miss USA was second place, and then he announced that Miss Columbia was first place, which was all well and good, except Miss Columbia didn't win. Miss Philippines won, and he called the wrong name. And so this isn't just the kind of mistake where they just fix it easily. There's a poor woman standing out there with a crown on her head celebrating because she just won, and someone had to walk over and take the crown off of her head and give it to someone else on live TV. Talk about regret. Steve Harvey had to come back out and say, I made a mistake. I messed up. Here's what actually happened. It's my fault. That is a lot of regret. But here's the thing. You and I can have that same kind of regret about 2016 if we don't set ourselves up well now to make this a year where we really honor God. And so this study today is a part of a new series called How To. How To is a series where we're going to be looking at some statements that start with how to. And we're going to hopefully talk about some things that you will really resonate with, some things that questions that maybe you're already asking. And this year we're going to look at, or today we're going to look at how to make your year matter. I like the phrase how to because it's really common. It starts all kinds of different sentences. And if you've ever used Google before, you know you can type in a couple words and then it gives you the rest of the sentence. It kind of suggests some answers. And so I did that this week and I typed in how to. And the first suggestion was how to tie a tie. So that's helpful. I read that to figure this out. And then the second one was how to hard boil eggs. That seems important. And the third one was how to write a check. These are all the things that Google thinks we need answers to, but they might be important questions, but I think you and I are asking some more important questions like this, how to make our year matter. And so if you have a Bible, go ahead and open it up to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 4. And if you don't have a Bible with you, we have the verses up here on the screen. And as you're flipping there, I want to help get acclimated to this passage. This book of Philippians was written by a man named Paul. Paul was a follower of Jesus who wrote a large amount of the New Testament. And when we look at Paul's life, we see a man who, when looking back, realized that he threw many years of his life into the tote of worthless years. But we also see someone who stopped and realized what life was really about, and we learn about how he lived for what really matters. And so I believe this morning, if you would let God speak to you, that you would enter into 2016 with a passion and a purpose from God to do exactly what he has planned for you. And so if you're there with me at Philippians 3, the first principle that we learn from this passage, the first principle to make 2016 really matter is this: rethink what really counts. If you want to make 2016 matter, the first thing to do is to rethink what really counts. At the second part of verse 4, Paul says this. He says, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Paul's speaking to a group of people who thought that they knew what really counted in life. And he's telling them, if you think you have what really counts, I have more. He's actually kind of trash talking here. And he's saying, I lived a life of things that really, really, really count. And so next in verse 5, he gives us this list of things that he's accomplished in his life. And let's just read through this list together. Verse 5 says this. It says, he was circumcised on the eighth day. What that means is that Paul was faithful to the Old Testament law to a T. He was completely faithful to the Old Testament law. Next it says, he was of the people of Israel. He was a naturally born Jew, not a transplant. It's like being a natural born Ohioan. We can cheer for Ohio State with greater authority because we're were from the state. He was a naturally born Jew. He then says he's from the tribe of Benjamin. That's important because there's 12 tribes of Israel, and Benjamin was the same tribe that King David came from. Then he says that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. That means he's the cream of the crop. Then it says, in regard of the law, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. This means he's one of the most highly esteemed Hebrews of his day. He followed the law closely. He says, as for zeal, he was persecuting the church. He was a passionate man about his faith. And it says, as for righteousness based on the law, he was faultless. He was a role model man. Now, that's quite a list that Paul has. He accomplished a lot in his life, but he's about to speak in terms of gains and losses. And so if you're a note taker, I just want you to draw something. It's really simple on your notes. Just draw a plus sign and a minus sign, because Paul's about to talk to us in terms of gains and losses. In almost every scenario, when you see that list of Paul's, you would think those are gains. Those are in the plus column. He had the pedigree, the past, and the passion that would have raised eyebrows in his day. These things would have earned the applause of everyone and the approval of God, at least in his eyes. They really counted. And so as you have your own plus and minus on your notes, I wonder for you, what would be the things in your life that really count? And I'm not looking for you to answer out loud, but maybe you'd want to write some of these things down. But we're not looking this morning for the church answer. We're not looking today for what maybe you think God wants to hear from you. I want you to consider in your own life, what in 2015 really counted to you? What really mattered to you in 2015? And you can discover this by looking back at your life and seeing, hey, in the last year, where did I spend my time? Where did I spend my talent? Where did I spend my treasure? How did you interact with your family, your friends, your coworkers? Go ahead and think about 2015. What things did you make a priority? Who did you spend time with? And when I speak with high schoolers and I feel like maybe it's an uncomfortable moment, I always remind them, hey, in church, we can be real, right? We can talk about real life things. And so I'll tell you, we're going to be real right now. Where did your money go in 2015? If you look at those sort of things, you'll discover what really counted to you in the last year. Because what I want you to do today, and I want myself to do, is to rethink what really counts in life. So Paul gives his list of things that really counted to him, but he says something interesting in verse 7. He goes on to verse 7 and he says this, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." The things that he used to consider in the plus category of his life, he now moved over to the minus category of his life because he experienced a turning point where he totally rethought what really counted in life. He no longer proudly displayed that list as trophies. They were trash in the tote of wasted past. They didn't count anymore. And so what was this turning point? What changed Paul's mind? It was an experience with Jesus. This is what he says in verse 8. He says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." If you know the story of Paul, you know that on the road to Damascus, he had an experience with Jesus. Paul thought he was living a life full of things that really counted, but when he met Jesus, everything changed. And I believe that you can never meet Jesus and stay the same. And so when we meet Jesus, when we have an experience with him, our accounting system changes. Some of the things we used to consider pluses, gains, might move over into the minus category. Paul saw the gains in his life loss. He said everything's a loss compared to knowing Jesus. The accolades of his life were now goose eggs. The prestige in his life was now embarrassment. What caused him to puff out his chest in pride made him now shake his head in shame. In verse 8, he doesn't just call everything a loss. He says that everything is garbage. Other translations use the word rubbish or even dung. The word that he's using here is the same word you and I would use for what we avoid in the yard after the dog goes outside. That's how strong of language he's using here. He says, "The things I used to consider gain, I now consider them garbage." Why? Because he's now seen Jesus. When we experience Jesus, we can never stay the same. He goes on to say in verse 9, he says, "And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ." The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. And he says, maybe you know this passage. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, of becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And so what made Paul rethink what really counted? What made him change his accounting system, move things from the gains category to the loss category? This greater thing that changed everything was the win of knowing Jesus. It was the hope of gaining Christ. Compared to Jesus, everything else is a loss. And so as you rethink what really counts this morning, don't miss this. In Christ, you and I have right standing with God that restores our relationship that was broken by our mistakes and sins. In Christ, there's power for you when you're in an impossible situation and you just want to wave the white flag. In Christ, there is strength that's made real when you're in your weakest moments. In Christ, there's forgiveness that erases the reality of your biggest mistakes, your impure and angry thoughts, your unloving actions. In Christ, there's grace that offers a relationship that you and I do not deserve. In Christ, there is mercy that spares you and I from judgment that we do deserve. In Christ, there's love that unconditionally embraces us when we are unlovely. In Christ, there's rest when you're physically and emotionally spent. Is anyone physically and emotionally spent after this Christmas season? In Christ, finally, there's hope of resurrection when life comes to an end. So my first question for you this morning is, have you given your life to Christ? Because if you haven't taken that step first, that first step, then none of this matters. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, if you haven't made him the leader of your life, then everything we're talking about is moot. It's not going to change a thing. Nothing's going to change if you don't start with giving your life to Jesus. For me, that began when I was in high school. I was doing my own thing. I was just trying to go after what I thought mattered. I wanted to excel in sports. I wanted to be popular. I wanted the attention and the respect of others. But there was a point in my life when what really mattered to me blurred. It changed. It was actually here at Grace, right across the hallway in our South Fellowship Hall. Our high school ministry used to meet in there. And Pastor Nick Cleveland was the youth pastor then. And I came two Sundays. And the second Sunday, I felt like this is a place I want to stay here. And there was a Sunday morning, August 26, 2006. I still have the date remembered where I decided I'm going to give my life to Jesus. And when I did that, the things that I considered gains, this popularity, this acceptance, this excelling in sports, I decided, you know, those things aren't what matters anymore. What matters to me, what really counts, is Jesus. That's a difference in accounting. And if I can just pause real quick, and this is a total aside, totally different than the message this morning. Can I just say, as someone who grew up in our high school ministry here from eighth grade all the way up until now, and I've worked alongside Pastor Nick, and then as I came on staff here, I got to work underneath him. Aren't we blessed, church, to have Pastor Nick soon taking on the role of senior pastor? Aren't we blessed in that way? I'm just so excited for that. I've had the honor of knowing him for a few years, and I just think we're so blessed. And we're so blessed with Pastor Bob and the great impact beyond even words. And I'm just so excited for what God has next here for our church. And as you can tell, Pastor Nick's made a huge impact on my life. But as we move back to the message now, I just wanted to fit that in there. I think that you and I can make our 2016 really, really matter if we rethink what counts. Rethink what really counts. But that's not it. That's not all we do. That's just a change of perspective, but there's more. The second thing we should do, after we rethink what really counts, we also need to pursue what really lasts. We need to pursue what really lasts. In verse 12, Paul says this. He says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of this, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Two times in this passage, Paul says he's pressing on. One time he says that he's straining toward. This is the picture of someone moving energetically, emphatically towards a goal. And this goal is very personal. In verse 12, Paul says that Christ Jesus took hold of him for a purpose. I believe that if you're a follower of Jesus, Christ Jesus has taken hold of you for a purpose today. He was pressing on to fully possess all that Christ had envisioned for him. There was a prize for which God had called him heavenward, and he was in passionate pursuit of it. He was pursuing what really lasts. And so what was his prize? Well, the prize is twofold. The first part of the prize was his salvation, his relationship with God. Paul wanted to become the person that God had made him to be, and he was on a journey to do that. But the second part of that, not just salvation for Paul, but the prize Paul was going after was salvation for others. He wanted to see other people come to know Jesus as well. And so to put it simply, and you can write this down, the goal that Paul had, and I think it should be our goal for 2016, is to know Christ and to make him known. Paul decided he was going to know Christ and he was going to make him known. That was his goal for the year 60 AD when he wrote this. And I think it should be our goal for the year 2016, know Christ and make him known. Paul knew that someday he was going to be in heaven, and his goal was to be all that he was supposed to be and also to bring as many people along with him to heaven as possible. He wanted to know Christ and to make him known. One of my favorite parts about Christmas is cookies. I love cookies. I love any kind of cookie. It can be a chocolate chip. It can be one of the ones with a Reese cup in the middle. It can be one of the Kiss cookies. As long as it's not oatmeal raisin, I'm okay with it. That's the worst experience when you reach for a cookie and take a bite. You think it's chocolate chip, but it's really oatmeal raisin. That's disappointment. That's real regret right there. But my wife always makes cookies around Christmas time, and a common phrase I hear from her is, "You had how many cookies?" That's what I get maybe on my day off and she comes home. But I love these little Kiss cookies that she made, just a little Kiss Hershey in the middle there. They're so delicious, but I was thinking about it. She made them a few weeks ago, and now the cookies, if I bit into one of those now, it'd be a little bit stale because that cookie doesn't last. It doesn't last forever. It's good for a period of time, and then it's not good anymore. That's just a silly little story about a cookie, but it'd be unfortunate if you and I spent 2016 focused on things that don't last. We could spend our 2016 and we could do all kinds of things that we would count as great. We'd put them in the gain column, but here's the truth. If it doesn't last forever, then it's not a gain. If it doesn't last forever, it's not what really counts. If it doesn't last forever, it's not what I believe Jesus is calling you and I to do. And so what lasts forever? It's simple. God lasts forever and people last forever. God lasts forever and people last forever. The Bible teaches clearly that you and I and every person we know is going to spend eternity, forever, either in a place called heaven with God or in a place called hell, separated from him forever. People last forever. And so I believe if we want to have a year that really matters, we're going to say, I'm going to know Jesus and I'm going to make him known to the people around us. That's what Paul decided to do. And so how did he pursue this goal? Well, it says that Paul, he said that he was forgetting what was behind. It was an athletic image there. He said he was going to strain towards the finish line. He wasn't going to look at what's behind him anymore. He was just going to look ahead. He was going to focus on what really counts, and he was going to say, I'm going to make changes in my life so I don't get tripped up by the same things over and over again. Paul wasn't about to let the past distract his pursuit. And so my question for you is, do you have something in your past today that you need to put behind you? Maybe it's trophies and treasures, things that you really valued. Maybe it's a goal that you had, but you realize when compared to Christ, it pales in comparison. Maybe it's a sin or regret or mistake that's holding you back. Paul said, I'm looking towards what is ahead, and I'm forgetting what's behind. And this morning, I think we can do the same thing. Whatever is going to hold you back from having a 2016 that really matters, forget it. Leave it behind you and strain towards what God has for you. All of us need to rethink what really counts this year. All of us need to pursue what really lasts. We need to know Jesus, and we need to make him known. And I know what some of you may be in your mind or thinking, you know, the things that I'm participating in my life, the things I'm going after, they're not sinful. They're not wrong things. They're fine. In fact, some people celebrate what I do. We need to take a candid look at 2016. We need to take an honest look at our lives because what Paul introduces here in this passage goes totally against the great American dream. In fact, it goes against the Christian American dream. The dream of, hey, I'm going to advance my career. I'm going to enjoy good entertainment. I'm going to gain respect of other people. I'm going to acquire more gadgets. I'm just going to cheer on my team. I'm going to have a refreshing vacation, and I'm going to have a wonderful retirement someday. We're told with this American dream that we should just gain all these comforts of life. But as meaningful as those things are, Paul says that they are a loss compared to knowing Christ. You know, those things may be the blessings on the periphery of our lives, but if they're the focus, if they're the one thing that our 2016 is about, that's how you find a year left in the tote of worthless past. So is your goal for 2016 to know Jesus and to make him known? That's what I want to do. I'm not there yet. Even Paul said that he wasn't there yet. He said at the beginning of that part that he had not obtained it all. He hasn't arrived yet. He hasn't figured it all out. Our expectation for ourselves and for you isn't to have everything figured out this morning, but it's to start taking steps towards being who God has called you to be and towards making Jesus known to the people around you. I have a couple stories I just wanted to share about a few people that I've interacted with who I think are really getting this right now. And I can be the first to say that this is a struggle for me as much as I'm sure it is for you. But I just want to share some stories that would encourage you or maybe inspire you to action. Earlier this week, a family reached out to our church just a few days before Christmas, reached out to Pastor Bob and said, fell on financial hardship and they were having trouble with rent, with payment, things like that. And also, just a cry from a dad saying, I'm so disappointed I can't get Christmas gifts for my family this year. And so as Pastor Bob worked out the process to help this family out, he reached out to me and said, hey, what do you think about getting this family Christmas gifts? I said, sure, I'd love to make that happen. And so I sent a message out to my high school grace group leaders, the adults who serve in our high school ministry, and said, hey, what can you do? Courtney and I are in for the first bit. What can you guys do to make this happen? And in the midst of Christmas season, everyone's already buying gifts. They're already strained on cash. I saw people rise up and give towards this family. And I had the privilege on Sunday night or on Thursday night, Christmas Eve service, after the 6 o'clock service, to give them 4 bags full of gifts. A gift for every person in their family, a 2-year-old daughter, a 16-year-old daughter, an 18-year-old son, and a nice date night and grocery card for mom and dad. And just the thankfulness on their face made me realize, man, these people who gave, you know, Pastor Bob, who made sure this happened, they get it. They got it. Make 2016 really matter. Make it about knowing Jesus and making him known to others. The words that these family had for me, which I didn't deserve, I didn't make this happen, but I got to be a part of the process. They said, we're so thankful. We just want to give back to other people. It changed their lives because someone decided to give and to be generous. I have a story of a high school girl named Mary Beth who came here to Grace in September. She got saved during one of our services. A friend of hers invited her, and then that friend texted me afterwards and said, hey, my friend, she didn't stand up or anything. She didn't raise her hand, but she talked to me afterwards and said she accepted Jesus. I'm so excited. She wants to get baptized. Mary Beth did get baptized just here in the fall, but she decided she wanted to go to Kalahari, which is a great experience. I'm so excited for her to do that, and so we do a fundraiser to make that happen. So Mary Beth sold enough pizzas to pay for the entire way to go to Kalahari. And I thought, that's really cool. She was committed to make that happen. What I found out later on was because Jesus changed her life, Mary Beth actually sold all of those pizzas so that she could invite a friend and say, hey, I've already paid for you to go. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? This is a high school girl, 16 years old. She gets it. Know Jesus, make him known. I talked to a man out in the hallway who I love and respect who told me that, hey, I'm writing you a check this week for Kalahari scholarships. I love to do that. I love to do that. And I just know it's going to change someone's life. And I told him, you know what? There's going to be people in heaven someday who you've never met who are going to meet you there and say, you gave or you did something. You made an investment. You didn't even know it, but you changed my life. We can have a 2016 that really matters if we focus on the right things. If we rethink what really counts, if we pursue what really lasts, we have a 2016 that absolutely changes everything. And so as we begin to close, I want you to look at your response card that you have with you. The first step that I believe maybe some of you need to take is the step to give your life to Jesus. Maybe if you've never done that before, you've heard about Jesus, you've been to church, but you've never given your life to him, then I think maybe the first step for you is to give your life to Jesus today. None of this matters if you don't have that in place. And so what I just want to encourage you to do is if you want to give your life to Jesus today, would you just draw a cross on your response card. Write your name down. Just draw a cross there so that we can get in contact with you this week and talk to you about what it means to follow Jesus with your life. But maybe you're already a follower and you're just trying to think about what's next for you. I'd encourage you to go home or take the same note card, write a plus and a minus, and take a real look at 2016. What things were once in your plus column that you're going to move to the minus column? And what things are you going to add to this gains column? What things are you going to focus on this year to make it a year that really, really matters? Paul encourages us to rethink what really counts and to pursue what really lasts. And if we do that, we can have a 2016 that matters. Jesus has words that speak to this, and I thought we could read this together as we close. In fact, I want to invite, if you're able to stand with me, and I want to read this passage from Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. These are the words of Jesus. Let's read this together. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Friends, one day when you and I are in heaven, there's very little that we get to take with us. The achievements, the money, the nice gadgets, those things don't get to come with us. The one thing we get to take with us to heaven is other people. And if we make our year about investing in other people, making Jesus known, that's a year that really lasts. Let's close in prayer. God, thank you for another morning here at Grace. I know so many of us are just glad to have this Christmas season with our family and friends, God, and we're thankful this morning to hear from you. How can we have a year that really matters? God, I pray that you would allow us to rethink what really counts and to pursue what really lasts, to have a 2016 that honors you, where we see people's lives changed because of what you're doing in our lives. God, I know that you created every one of us on purpose, with purpose, for a purpose. And that purpose is to know you and to make you known. Help us to do that in our lives, Jesus. We pray it all in your name. Amen.